Welcome to a special bonus episode of Las Vegas Weekly's Second Helping Podcast. I'm Brock, and I hope you've listened to our July show all about our favorite burgers from across the Vegas Valley. Today we're going to tackle another favorite food that's always on our minds when summertime rolls around, and that's barbecue. And we have a fun interview to share with a local chef who's created his own style of barbecue throughout his career. His name is Ashley Archer, and he's the executive chef overseeing all the restaurants and food at the Silverton Casino and Hotel. Ashley is a kitchen veteran who's been at the locals' favorite casino property for 3 years now, and like many other neighborhood casinos, the Silverton reopened last month after being forced to close to help stop the spread of the coronavirus. It's been pretty busy since reopening its doors, as regulars have come back to eat and gamble and have fun. And one of the offers the casino has created to take care of its customers is the new Feed the Family Grab and Go meal package. Ashley's going to talk all about that delicious deal, but we also had time to talk about his own love of barbecue, how it runs in his family, how he kind of idolized his dad, who used to smoke brisket for the family growing up. Ashley has cooked all across the country, and he's picked up a lot of different techniques and tips and incorporated everything into his own personal style of barbecue, including the flavorings he likes to use in his seasoning rub and certain woods that are better for different meats. If you're a barbecue fanatic like me, this is fascinating stuff, and it's going to make you hungry too, so be prepared. I got to talk to Ashley outside at the pool at the Silverton, and it really put me in the mood for a backyard cookout. So check out the Second Helping interview with Silverton executive chef Ashley Archer. First up is the Sundance Grill's take-home meal and how they came up with it.
For us, I think, you know, the whole thing is, a lot more people are wanting to eat at home, right? So we never really looked at, like, family meal deals, because we always wanted people to have the experience in the restaurant. We always wanted people to have experience at the property. But, you know, you start looking at just everything that's out there, and you're like, hey, you know, we're not a Grubhub kind of place or anything like that, but, you know, we wanted to be able to provide that experience for people to take home with them. So there's obviously a lot more people at home. You know, families are together again, you know, a little bit less out and about. So that's how we came up with the concept, you know, family meal deal, feed four for 45. So it includes, you know, two racks of ribs, a pint of mac and cheese, a pint of baked beans, a pint of coleslaw, and four rolls. So it's a pretty smoking deal, you know. I wouldn't say we're making much money off of it, but hopefully, you know, that's always kind of our concept. We want to give you a great product and just earn your loyalty, right? And so that's kind of what we're hoping to do.
I think it's great because obviously there's a lot of different restaurants are doing different things with this. Some places are doing, kind of packages where you, like, cook at home kits, mm-hmm. type of stuff. But this is like so satisfying and soulful. It's like the same kind of food experience that you get when you come to eat at the restaurants here. It's got all the trimmings on there already, so it's just taking it to the next level, I think.
Yeah, I mean, the problem with, like, the whole cooking at home thing, it's great, right? Like, I was just on Instagram before you guys got here, and it's, you know, you see, like, oh, you know, make, you know, craft steak, make our duck at home, you know. Well, that's great, but not everybody is a professional, you know. Right. And you know, how many times have we done that where you go out and you eat and you want to recreate that, and it's just never quite the same? Well, that's the whole thing, is you get the home cook, and, you know, whether they don't understand what chiffonade is, or they don't understand, you know, how to properly saute. I mean, you're talking about, you know, a duck breast, for example. I mean, you know, that I have professionals who struggle with that sometimes, you know. So I think that's the whole thing, is it's cool. You know, I think it's cool to play in the kitchen and experiment. But I also think, you know, that's not what we were going for. We were going for, you know, we wanted you to be able to take a little bit of Sundance home with you. Ribs, we sell a ton of ribs here. You know, ribs and chicken wings. Sundance chicken wings, like, number one seller. But our ribs are up there, and you know, the thing about barbecue is it's just something that transports well. You know, it's kind of like our restaurant Woohoo. It's a good take home because, you know, it doesn't get saturated, it doesn't lose its life, you know, so throughout the transportation. So I think that that's, you know, again, what we wanted to accomplish was, you know, you don't have to do, we'll do the work for you. You know, all you got to do is put out some paper plates, some forks, and, you know, it's an easy pickup and it's an easy cleanup, you know. So, and this is the time of year. I mean, barbecue is, you know, 4th of July. We just had Memorial Day, all these things. You know, it's summertime. People want to be out grilling and chilling and smoking some meats.
And ribs. I mean, talk about things that are not easy to do at home that you kind of need to be a professional to do at home. Everybody right. thinks they can do ribs, but when you actually try, unless you've been doing it for years, it's not easy. And I know you've been, this is a dish that's near and dear to you
right.
from where you're from.
I mean, you know, growing up in the South, you know, having stops and like, you know, whether it was like in Oregon, being out on the Central Oregon coast where smoking is kind of a big deal. You know, obviously smoked salmon and different things like that. And, having time in Kansas City, growing up in Texas, living in Birmingham, Alabama. I mean, it's just smoking meat and barbecue has become kind of a hobby of mine. Obviously, I have to do it professionally, but that was one of the things. It kind of became a hobby because professionally, I think sometimes we struggle with doing it in the masses, right? So you go home and you perfect your rub, right? So, you know, so that way you can bring it into your workplace. You at home you can touch and feel and kind of understand the particulars of the kind of meat that you're using, whether it's a brisket, whether it's a pork butt, whether it's pork shoulder, obviously baby back ribs. You know, the thing about smoking in general meats with me is it you have to enjoy the journey, right, of it all. And because it's a tedious process, right? Like, I think people like to rush it. I think people like to, people don't want to kind of slow roll and give it the time for those types of meats that you're using are fibrous and they need to break down and they reward you. You know, it's just like, you know, putting too much smoke on something is can be really bad. And, you know, but the cool thing about it is that it's really open to your interpretation. You know, like ribs. Some people like ribs that fall off the bone. Other people like ribs that have a little bit of bite to it. You know, we try to be right in between that, right? Because, and again, it's more of a touch and feel for us.
Do you have your own kind of barbecue style? And is that built on like a traditional thing that you learned because of where you lived before or because of your training? Or how did you kind of develop your own method?
My style is, I mean, it's kind of unique because it's just it's a blend. You know, coming from Texas, obviously it's heavy smoke. You know, living in other places, whether it's obviously mesquite is a big deal in Texas, mesquite wood, and then you know being out in Oregon where it's more like applewood smoke. You know, which was kind of new to me because I'd always just mesquite or pecan or something like that. Even whenever I was in Kansas City, I never even heard of lotus wood, you know, and that was a thing that people were like, hey, this is great for smoking. I was like, never even tried it. And then I used it and it kind of had this, you know, a little bit more of a floral kind of smell. And yeah, I think it's great for poultry, you know? So again, I kind of blend all that, you know, for me personally. You know, if I'm doing something, a bigger primal piece of meat, you know, and you know, I'm gonna put, you know, heavy, steady smoke on that thing, get a beautiful smoke ring. And then there's other things, you know, like it's all about the rub and the crust and, or, you know, for me. But again, and sometimes I'll dumb it down, you know, I can just use salt and pepper and a little bit of mustard, you know, and that's kind of what I'm doing, you know. So versus like a heavy crust or a heavy rub. So again, I just kind of jump in and out of all kinds of. I'm not a Carolina diehard guy. I'm not a Kansas City diehard guy. You know, I just take a lot of the experiences that I've had personally, and then just knowing some people. You know, I've known guys who have won the Kansas City Royal, and I try to pick their brain, and they got corporate sponsors and all this stuff, and they go all around the country, and that's just kind of the thing that. I enjoy blending together to kind of make it. And again, I think that's the beauty about smoking is it's not a one size fit all kind of thing. It's you can literally do whatever you want to do. It's a really open definition. And I think in culinary, if I'm making a butter sauce, a beurre blanc, there's a technique. You're emulsifying. You have to do your reduction and get to the nappe and so on and so forth. Well, barbecue, there's none of that, man. If I want to brine it, and do a brown sugar brine on my pork roast, I can. That's fine. Now, is everybody going to do that? Probably not, but that's my interpretation. That's my avenue. That's the direction I want to take it. So it's so open, and so it's not, you're not stuck in this box. And I think that's kind of the beauty about it. It's just like the things that you smoke. Like people would have, now you get smoked vegetables, smoked cream corn, smoked whatever, smoked mushrooms. I think the one thing for me is, I know like the Traeger and the pellet feds, I think that's opened up another door too, because people aren't, it's more convenient, right? And as a society, we're always looking for convenience, right? And so I think that's introduced barbecue to a lot of people that were maybe a little bit intimidated before. Personally speaking, I like the struggle of, stoking the fire and maintaining the temperature and, is the water bath correct and all that stuff, and that's a little bit for me, more for me, but that's the unique challenge. But 10 years ago, you pellet fed, I could just turn it on and walk away. That didn't exist. So I think, again, it introduced and opened the doors, opened those avenues for a lot of people that may have been intimidated from it before, And a big part of barbecue for me is it's a personal relationship, and the fact that, some of my childhood memories, was watching my father on his... this custom smoker he built and made, and him being up all night and, not sleeping for 2 days or whatever, and just the joy that the level of pride that he had whenever to unveil it, right? And I mean, that's just something I'll always remember whenever I was 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. So when I got older, that's something I wanted to do.
Growing up, were ribs the thing that you guys ate at home the most, or what was the dish?
The big thing that my dad, I don't think my dad ever smoked ribs. It was always brisket. It was always brisket in Texas. That was the key ingredient. And that's the reason why it took so long. It was 16, 17 hours of just constantly watching it, and he didn't have. Water baths, and he didn't have, you couldn't control, the airflow. You had to literally sit there and babysit this thing. And I don't even remember what it's like. Some cast iron, something that he, I don't know if it was like an old water heater from back in the day or something. He made that, and it stayed in our family for a long, long time. So
a lot of people are going to be barbecuing. A lot of people are going to be grilling too, which is obviously not the same thing, but I think they get kind of mixed together sometimes, and that's fine. Do you have like a favorite summer cookout grill dish that you like to make if you're doing something at home for having a weekend party, but you're not gonna tend to the smoker?
If I'm not doing barbecue and people are coming over, I love to do just a big tomahawk, and I use the same rub. My coffee rub that I make at home, that's the same rub I'll use for steaks. So I like that because it's kind of versatile. But I'm, you know, that's me. Big chunk of meat, you know, on the bone. The dog gets the bone. So everyone's happy. You know, some grilled corn. I think that's the great thing. Is like, this is the time of year where, you know, the produce, you got your stone fruits, you got all these things coming in. You know, even to take stone fruit and just toss it with a little bit of balsamic and just, you know, char it up on the grill, you know, grilled peaches. It's really, this is kind of like the peak season, you know, for chefs in that aspect, you know, where produce is, everything's just sort of readily available. So, but for me, I'm putting a big chunk of meat on the grill. You know, that's just kind of my style. I mean, we do chicken and stuff as well, but it's going to be a big piece of red meat.
That's all for this special bonus episode of Second Helping. We hope you enjoyed listening, and we hope you're ready to throw some meat on the barbecue and have some summer fun. Very special thanks to everyone at the Silverton, the Sundance Grill, and Chef Ashley. If you want to check out the Feed the Family deal, visit silvertoncasino.com/event/feed the family. Or you can just go to lasvegasweekly.com and click on podcasts. I posted a link to the site there. I also have another special treat for you, one of Ashley's perfect side dishes for your home cookout. The recipe for his mac and cheese is online at lasvegasweekly.com right now. It's super easy to make. You can't go wrong. Thanks again to Ashley's team and to everyone at Las Vegas Weekly, as well as Sonia Barcelona, who lends us her song Violent Water for our podcast. You can find more music from Sonia at artofsonia.com. You can find other episodes of Second Helping at lasvegasweekly.com/podcasts, at our Las Vegas Weekly YouTube page, or on Apple Podcasts. Thanks again for listening. Come back soon.